Because of those unique parts about this industry, it frames our mindsets with how to handle finances.
Yep.
I mean, our means of an emergency fund is not going to be the 3 to 6 that's often recommended for others, because with both of us in the job, you lose that job after COVID, where we saw greatest potential of our careers stopping.
Yeah.
My skills don't move to another job very easily, right? So, I mean, I've got to protect myself longer term.
So
right
3 to 6 months isn't going to cut it. You need 2 years maybe or something. So,
well, especially and you're just when husband and wife
exactly. yeah. at the same place.
Yeah, they're at the all same place.
All our eggs are now in one basket where we thought we would be safest.
Welcome to a Wiser Retirement Podcast. We believe the best financial advice should always be conflict-free. I'm your host, Casey Smith. Today, I'm joined by two guests, Justin and Jennifer Place. Justin and Jennifer are both pilots for a major airline here in Atlanta. And today, we're going to talk about a pilot's journey through budgeting and tips with variable income, which I think will apply to a lot of our listeners. Hey, guys.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
I think this is the first married couple we've ever interviewed out of 218 episodes. So we can get a Boy Scout badge for that, I guess.
Yeah, fantastic. Very cool.
And I think I'm a little behind in listening. 218 episodes. I don't have that many under my belt.
You're going to have, we can download these to your phone and listen and you're crossing the Atlantic or the Pacific.
Yeah, on my rest, you're going. Of course.
Yes, on your rest. So we've known each other for a long time. And so thanks for coming to do this.
Yeah,
of course.
We have something in common in that we both struggled at the regional airlines getting started. Jennifer, you were at Air Wisconsin.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
And you're at ASA, obviously.
Yes.
I was at ASA. But before ASA, I was at Colgan Air, where I think I got paid $18 an hour, I think.
Yeah, I started at 1902. Right.
Yeah, something similar for us.
Yeah, in 2002 is when I was flying. So, you know, we meet with people who go, man, I just have variable income and it's different. Now, variable income, when you're making $500,000 as a family, is very different than variable income when you're making $60,000 or less as a family. So I thought we would run through just some tips on how do we survive as we were coming up through all that. And then let's start first with just tell us your story.
Sure.
You guys were not military trained. You were privately trained, just like me.
Yeah, we went to UND. So we went, got a degree
University
in aviation.
Of North Dakota.
Yeah, sorry, University of North Dakota. Got a degree in aviation there, and that's where we met, actually. So
I think that was when you started flying in 2002, 2003 is when we first got together.
Yep.
Give or take. We dated for a long time, but always knew that we wanted, you know, to pursue a relationship further.
Yeah.
It just, as you know, starting off in aviation, making very little, tough to get married when you don't have enough to make your ends meet.
Right.
So that was kind of put off for a couple of years. And then we got married in 2010.
So you guys graduated at the same time?
Around the same time.
Yeah. We were maybe a year apart. Jen went to Air Wisconsin after instructing at the school. I was a year behind you. So when I graduated, jobs were fewer and far between.
Yeah.
So we went to the East Coast where you're initially based, and I cold called every airport up and down the East Coast until I found a place to start my instructing job. Right. And, it was with the Navy in Norfolk, Virginia as a civilian contractor. And Jen was based there with Air Wisconsin. So I think I came home one day and was like, Jen, what do you know about a company called Atlantic Southeast Airlines? She's like, nothing. Why? It's like, I've got an interview on Monday. So
that's
let's
awesome.
Go and see. So we kind of put our eggs in two different baskets
on
at
purpose.
The regionals on purpose. Yeah.
On the same airplane though.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah. And then we moved to Atlanta in 2007 when I got hired at ASA, and Jen did the commuting as they're protected by a commuter clause. She was DC based then for the next almost 8 years.
Something like that. Yeah.
So go back to college for a second. So when you graduate right now from most of these programs, you have a direct entry into an airline.
It's an entirely different
where now path. Or back then you didn't have that.
Not at all.
Yeah. You just graduated and they were like, congratulations, you passed and
good luck out there.
Go tow some banners, go watch the, you know, highway patrol for a while, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It was stressful.
Yeah. So was your undergrad in like aviation management? Is that how they do that?
You could do that. We both did commercial aviation,
okay.
Bachelor's of Science. Our thought process there was if we ever did lose our medicals, my interests would be drastically different at my older years than what I was interested in at the time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we would come back and do our education to whatever that would be at that time.
What would you tell a young person now?
And going into aviation?
Who wants to be in the aviation? Where should they go now?
What would they do?
I always recommend UND, but if you don't need a college degree, that's really not a good route to go. So, I mean, I'm so kind of out of the loop on what the path is now. It's very different than when we went through.
Yeah. So. It's all about these direct programs. Yeah. Now. I still think you should have a college degree.
You should, but if you already have a college degree, I don't know about going back to the university's program might not be the best bet for that.
No, but if you're coming out of high school now.
I definitely recommend a program like University of North Dakota. I think there's other
like
things.
Like a flight safety or Emory Riddle or something like that.
Sure.
They just set you up so well for success. I mean,
Or even Auburn.
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course. There's plenty of great schools out there. Yeah. We were just from the Midwest originally, and that's closer to home for us and was a good school for us to attend.
And I
have this whole philosophy that you want to go to a school that gets you into Envoy or PSA.
Yeah.
And you're guaranteed to track down American.
Sure.
But if you want to be at Delta, which is the stronger financial company right now, or stronger airline financially, Delta loves to poach.
They do. Yeah. I mean, think about
from
it.
From other airline
competitors pilots,
where
right.
if you go to Endeavor or if you go to some of these other regional carriers for Delta, they kind of have a handshake agreement. Hey, we won't take anybody out of your pool until we have to.
Yeah.
And so I told a young lady this not that long ago. And then I think it was like 2 weeks later, we had a pilot call in for financial planning services.
Okay.
And I asked him what his career path was. He's, I went to Envoy and then Delta hired me.
Imagine
I was
that.
Like, that's exactly what I've been telling people to do. Go to somewhere where it has good pay. You already got your career track down as the American is your backup, but then you get into the Delta system.
Yeah.
But if you live in a base where it's primary American, you wouldn't switch. Like if your whole family's in Charlotte or wherever, then there'd be no reason to commute somewhere else.
And I think that's the difference between the people who went through college at the time we did to the people now, different generations, is they're basing where they want to go as to where they want to live.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to,
we were just happy. I want to be in Denver.
So United's my option. And we're like, who's going to interview me? Like, can I get someone to call? And then that's where I'll go.
So the landscape is totally different now, which is great for them.
I started my path right after 9/11 happened.
Okay.
I was standing in line with a resume. I was standing in line with a resume with people who were not only ex-military, but furloughed from a major airline. They'd already proven that they could fly MD-88 for US Air or something.
Right.
And no one would talk to me.
Right.
I was lucky to get the Colgan position, but once I got it, I made it work for me.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
It's just, like you said, it ebbs and flows with the demand of when I got hired, you weren't competitive unless you had 3000 hours of time. Right.
Yeah.
And now you know what an airplane is here. I'll teach you the rest from there. So it's just,
now we're starting,
interesting.
We're starting to see the industry slow down a bit just because hiring, I think, is starting to slow as it naturally should. You can't maintain that level of hiring, but you know, yesterday, it was announced that Spirit's going to lay off or furlough almost 300 pilots and 130. You're going to have to go back from captain to the first officer seat, possibly another 130 later. And so there's some, we all know why that happened. You know, there was a failed merger.
Of course.
And then Spirit, I think, what I don't understand is like their business model, they still had to run an airline. So it's kind of like they just gave up at some point or they were trying to just get market share in order to get to look attractive for a merger. If it doesn't work out, now they're going to have to walk it back to profitability maybe.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not,
they also never privy to what management with the, wants, but 321 Neos as well. Right.
And
so that was hindering their growth. Maybe their plans changed with the airplanes they couldn't use it anymore.
Yeah. They delayed those. I think that saved them $320 million a year. But the point is that what's unique about this career path is if you're a pilot, and I don't know how deep that furlough is going to get as far as seniority.
Right.
But if you're a pilot there, and let's say you came to Southwest, Delta, American, United, because you got furloughed from Spirit, you start over at the bottom again. And that's what just normal people don't understand.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not like a plumber's union where
this
guy's been plumbing for 25 years.
Anywhere you go.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
There's no national union. In fact, there's different unions. There's SWAPA for Southwest. There's the union for American, which is not ALPA. American or Delta and United have the same union. But, anyway, it's a very risky career path in some sense. and that you could be the guy who got hired at Delta in the 80s because Pan Am didn't want you. And Pan Am was like the gold standard.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely.
And you ended up way better than the guy at Pan Am.
Yes.
Yeah. And Eastern.
Yep. Absolutely. And right. you could be underneath the guys at Delta when they merged, right? right. Yeah, absolutely. And I think right. because of those unique parts about this industry, it frames our mindsets with how to handle finances.
Yep.
I mean, our means of an emergency fund is not going to be the 3 to 6 that's often recommended for others, because with both of us in the job, you lose that job after COVID, where we saw greatest potential of our careers stopping.
Yeah.
My skills don't move to another job very easily, right? So, I mean, I've got to protect myself longer term.
So right 3 to 6 months isn't going to cut it. You need 2 years maybe or something. So,
well, especially and you're just when husband and wife
exactly. yeah. at the same place.
Yeah, they're at the all same our place.
All now in one basket where we thought we would be safest.
yeah, right. exactly.
Yeah, even we intentionally went to 2 separate regionals, but then we ended up at the same major, which I think the benefits outweigh the negatives, but there is risk there.
Yeah, we have clients that are both at United. And so, yeah, it, plus you guys are hired within what, 6 months of each other?
Well, like 8 or 10.
Yeah, 8 months.
Like so, but from a seniority list, that's not that big a difference really.
No.
So yeah, that adds additional risk to it. Thankfully, I think you guys are pretty safe at this point.
I do too.
With the hiring that has gone on, I'd have to take something drastic where the company is out of business because of some other means or other reasons.
So they kind of bring this back around to apply to everybody. When you think about, budgeting with variable income, you could be in sales, you could be in, a highly, any business that's highly commission driven. You could have variable income. Sure, most places will have some type of a base, but then your base might be small compared to this big number that you end up earning, throughout the year. And so let's kind of look at it in two phases. So first phase is when you're at a regional, you guys were making probably what, 45,000, 50,000 each?
No,
never
not
made
even
that.
Close.
I think 30. The most I made was $35,000.
$35,000 as a first officer.
Yeah.
Right.
So $35,000 each. And even then it wasn't a straight paycheck.
No.
So it fluctuates a lot.
So the first paycheck every month was much smaller than the second on the 15th, right?
Definitely. Yes. Yep.
Which I just found out, by the way, the Southwest guys can choose to be paid once a month. So really? You just get the last month's overage.
Interesting.
Yeah. I didn't know that until yesterday.
Okay.
That sounds like it might be easier to keep track of everything that way.
I know, right?
Yeah.
The way that our company does it is kind of convoluted.
Like, I was like, wait, what? Yeah. He's like, yeah, I just chose to be paid once a month. And I was like,
huh.
Okay.
Never would have thought that. Interesting.
Did not know that.
He might be the master of that then, about variable income. Right. You better plan accordingly. You get paid once per month.
You get paid once per month. Exactly. Right. Kevin told me that.
Oh, okay.
You guys remember Kevin from ASA?
Absolutely.
Well, I was looking at you like you flew at ASA.
But I know the name.
Yeah. Thanks, actually, Kevin.
And I flew with Kevin quite a bit. So I think you recognize the name because of blog books and like,
I do recognize the name, yeah.
We'll give him a shout out on the pod here today.
Awesome.
So what did you guys do? How did you make it through variable income like that? Low variable income. What were some of your techniques?
I think the biggest thing for us was we were on the same page, right? So both having the same or similar meant that we had to talk about it. I think finance is often something in a family you don't discuss for whatever reason. America is often taboo. So for us, it wasn't. And that was helpful because now you're pulling from the same side of the rope and that helps quite a bit.
So you got on the same page.
Yes.
So then now there's no arguing over what's going to be happening.
Exactly.
Because you've already set goals
both
together.
Clearly understand what the facts are. Yeah. And that's helpful.
When we went to buy our first house, we purposefully bought something way under what we could afford, what the bank said we could afford, because just we're conservative as pilots and we know in variable income, you just have to keep everything as low as you can get it, you know, and just keep your expenses in check. And we would pack lunches to bring on trips, which wasn't very fun all the time. We would challenge ourselves to spend less than $10 a day on food.
So how do you pack for a lunch as a pilot?
It's like
when you're gone for 4 days,
just boring stuff, you know, PB&J. And
if I see reheated microwave fried rice again, I tell you.
Yeah, a lot of microwave meals. I mean, it wasn't glamorous at all, but you kind of had to do what you had to do.
Yeah, on the turns, you'd run into the ramper's break room, find the microwave, heat your food, come back out and do it and eat it as quickly as you can. But I think what we ended up finding is that you needed to know what your base expenditures were. So what we found ourselves is and I like to make spreadsheets and stuff like that, but using Quicken.
So we're big Quicken users.
Yeah.
We track every penny manually into Quicken. So we know exactly where the costs are going. And we do that to this day, which I mean, is a different time. I guess we wake up early now that we have a daughter and that's our time to enter all of yesterday's expenses or back from the trip, but we still do that religiously.
Because it's now become just a habit for us. It was a necessity when we were making
Big broad categories, or are you like, this is my nail polish expense for
no, yes. So because we've been a long-term Quicken users, we've been able to define those categories for what makes sense to us and what we want to track. So
pretty broad.
Yes.
Yeah. Pretty broad.
There's probably 25 broad categories, and of that you can break it down further, you know? Yeah. So, and then the things you're interested in, like, after our daughter, I wanted to know how much we were spending on diapers. So baby was the broad category, and then baby/diapers was the second category. And that's not a number you want to know.
That's the number you want to know.
That's not a fun one.
I remember when our firstborn was like struggling with like coming out of diapers and he had been to Disney World a couple of times. Like, we will go to Disney World next weekend if you can cut out these diapers.
Right.
Biggest incentive here.
Right. Yes. It's like these diapers literally pay for Disney. Right.
Yeah. And that was back then. That's before oil prices changed the price of diapers. So I'm sure it's much, much worse now.
Yeah.
So what is your process? You review that once a month together. You have do you set like a hard date saying this is our day? You go to dinner. What do you do?
It's a daily thing for us. And
you just talk about it every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how's that go? What did you spend money on this trip? What's this charge?
No.
Our friends kind of really found out. So because we work the same 4 days, you know, generally on a trip and the regionals, we would come back and we'd have a time to reconvene over coffee. Mm-hmm. And so that morning would be a chance for us to kind of discuss our trips, the fun things we might've gone to do or did, and enter Quicken, and it got to be known as coffee conference. And so all of our friends would be like, oh, am I interrupting coffee conference and stuff like that? But that was the time for us to reconnect for ourselves and our personal relationship. But money was always on the forefront there, budgeting for the next month or looking at what our expenditures were coming up. And a lot of it, we ended up developing kind of like the envelope method too.
Yeah.
And so while it wasn't specific envelopes too, we would use savings accounts for. So,
yeah, it's not like physical envelopes, but digital envelopes.
Yeah, we banked online and we could open up easy new savings accounts for XYZ. And then that's what we'd put money aside. Cause when we were tracking Quicken, we realized that to minimize our costs, you can have a huge cost savings if you pay in full for like insurance, right? If you pay monthly, they're going to charge you for that. Mm-hmm. But if you're allowed or have the capability of paying in full, you get a discount. So we try to seek out any of those types of discounts to be able to minimize our expenses. And to do that, we'd pay ourselves monthly into that savings account called insurance. And then that money was set aside. So that was kind of our digital envelope for that. So I think Quicken was helpful for that.
I just meant that money is a daily conversation for us. You know, it's just like, it's not taboo in our house. And we're very much on the same page with things. And our goals are aligned, you know, most of the time. And it's just something is discussed a lot.
So do you run into situations where one person wants to do one thing and the other person doesn't really want to do that? Or
yeah, we're individuals. Yeah. What we want to spend our money on is going to vary from time to time. And thankfully, we're also minimalists in a way. You know, I think because of our jobs being gone, you don't have a lot to maintain at home in a way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think we're minimalist and that saves us in the end. Like, we just don't spend frivolously on stuff that we don't need. We buy kind of what we want and what we think we need and not really a lot of excess. So I think that has saved us money. That's probably developed over time when we needed to.
I do follow you guys on Facebook. I've seen some pretty cool trips.
Well, that's an exception.
So that's where Jen enjoys spending her money, is experiences and adventures and travel.
I don't want people
to
think that you're sitting at home, hermit, counting your money and Quicken every day. No, that's not what's happening.
You still have to live your life. Yes.
We still have the things we enjoy.
So for some people that might be golf membership or
guilty.
It might be a car or
guilty.
Right.
Well, we're transitioning out of regional life to now major airline life. And so we could talk about that too. I mean, how has that changed for you? How has coffee changed? How has coffee conference changed making what you did there to, you know, the average first officer at a major today is making around $250,000 to $300,000 a year. So, putting you guys in that category, where does that where does that, how does that change the conversation now? Is it just bigger toys and bigger trips and bigger savings? It just all the numbers get a little bigger?
That, and I mean, we also have a child now, so that has changed the landscape quite a bit too. That's a priority is her and saving for her and what she needs. And, you know, we're both back at work full time, so we had to get childcare and all those things. You know, that's been a huge change that would have been really hard to navigate at the regionals.
And I think I still go back to Credit Quicken. It's still something we're such habitual with. You could track that lifestyle creep, right? So you're conscious with, what am I now increasing my expenses on? And am I okay with that? So we have probably done things contrary to most people. We've lived in the same house for 16 years. We have made it nicer over time. We've done the renovations, but that has allowed us to pay it off.
You even had a cat take up with you.
Yeah, exactly. We did, COVID kitty.
He's not free.
Shout out to Jasper.
Shout out to Jasper. What's up, Jasper? We're also actively saving for a new house because with Ellie, that's going to have to happen. So, you know, that's a big goal of ours right now that we're putting significant money away for that. And that's a hard goal to chase
these days.
It is. It feels out of reach a lot of times. And at the regionals too, we were very, very content where we were, and we weren't actively saving for a new house at that time. We didn't have any money to save for a new house at that time.
So. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess your goals get bigger. What you're saving for is larger. And
so same process, just bigger numbers.
Yeah, much. I agree. And I think you need to allow yourself a little lifestyle creep, because otherwise you're working so hard for what reward?
For nothing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you still need to enjoy those trips. You need to go out and do what you have fun with.
Extra trips, right? You just kind of fly your line.
We do. It just depends. I mean, sometimes it's almost like, this is so easy, I have to go do this. You know, it's like,
if it's a round trip to like Turks and Caicos or something, why wouldn't you do that? Right.
I mean, he did, he did St. Lucia the other day, just because they called him last minute, needed him to go to St. Lucia. And he's like, okay, you know, so we do sometimes if it makes sense, if it works.
Yeah. I think pre-child, we were more apt to pick up extra trips. And now because her, you know, daycare away needs to be, childcare needs to be taken care of. So, they are less and fewer far between now.
Hey, fellow aviators. Before we dive back into this episode, I've got some awesome news to share. On our website, we've got a freebie just for you. Our team of financial advisors has done the legwork to provide you with free 401k allocations for all the major airlines. Getting your hands on your airline's specific allocation is a breeze. Just click the link in the episode notes or head over to pilotretirement.com. Now let's get back to the good stuff in this episode.
I've just been told that, I think it was in the last couple of weeks, that, you know, we all know what green slips are for those in the industry.
Right.
Silver slips.
Yeah.
That's a new one. I haven't quite fully grasped.
We haven't done them yet.
Someone was telling me about silver slips.
Why they
slips.
Have to soak and all this other silly things.
I was like,
silver? Why is it silver?
The person explained it to me and I was like, I don't understand. Are there going to be gold slips eventually? Is this Bitcoin? What's happening here?
I'm not fully understanding what silver slips are yet. But
we'll have to do some more research on. I have to have a video just on gold versus silver, I guess. Educate the pilot base on,
and then you can educate us about it.
Yeah, and then let us know. Right,
that's hilarious. So what I hear is, you know, so the whole theme for all of our podcasts is financial success is intentional.
Yes. Correct,
and so what you're telling me that you're intentional about is communication.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And making sure you're all on the same page.
Yep.
Moving forward is one solid unit. And that's probably also, if we had a podcast on happy marriages, I'm assuming that would be also the number one
topic.
They
probably go hand in hand.
Yes, absolutely. Exactly. Right. Well, supposedly, you know, people get divorced mostly over money, right? Sure. And the situations that we see, there's usually just a ton of debt and poor decisions and doing things to mask another problem probably. But financially speaking, you guys are good savers, and you're saving toward these ultimate goals. What do you think your retirement looks like? Like, what is it you guys want to be doing? What are we saving for in the end?
We have talked about living overseas. We retire. I mean, we don't know yet. Are we going to retire in our 50s because we're set, or are we going to go to 65 because our lives and jobs are so easy that we can't walk away?
Right.
We don't know, but we have talked about maybe like living in different countries for a few months at a time. And I don't know. We'll see.
Like a long Airbnb or something.
Something like that. Experience the culture.
We both love to travel.
Yeah. We have a client that did that in Lake Como.
Okay.
She rented this place and like come as like was like tending the lady's garden who owned the house for like 3 months.
Okay. Interesting. So
something cool like that.
Yeah. So that was cool.
But I mean, we don't know where Ellie's gonna be. So travel around, see what she's doing. I don't know.
Another thing I would say, you maybe less so now, which is normal, but delayed gratification. Do you guys have to be able to do that very intentionally?
Yeah, I think that is
because you turn on the TV, it's just like
instantaneous.
Buy this for $29.99 a month, or you know.
I think the saving for the item is so much more rewarding than getting the item. If that makes sense. The anticipation of getting whatever it is that you're saving for, you work so hard to put that money aside, sacrifice, and then you get it. You're like, I did it.
Did it. Yeah.
And then you have it for a little while and you're like, oh, that wasn't all that satisfying. It was just the actual item I wanted wasn't that big of a deal. And I enjoyed the saving part of it more. So,
but honestly, coming out of college and not making very much was probably something that was really good for us and really good for our generation of people that had to go through that, because it taught you how to have a relationship with money. You had to, because you had not the school of hard knocks, right? Now you come out, you're just like, oh, I have so much money. I'm going to go do this and that, but you don't really get to learn those lessons. You don't have to.
Yes. We talked to a lot of 24 to 27 year old people just getting started. And I say good for them.
I mean, me too.
It's all about when you're born.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, they're, it's like, pending some kind of economic crisis like 9/11 or the financial crisis in 08, they're in a great position.
Right.
They're in a great position to be financially set. I mean, they're going to retire probably $18 million in their 401k plan.
Well, and if they're here talking to you, they've got a leg up. I think a lot of those people are out there. Oh, look at all this money I'm making right out of college. Look at all this fun I can have without even.
They're not thinking about their futures.
No. Future.
Right.
No, you don't come to a wealth management firm typically when you've had three ex-wives and a lot of bad decisions.
Yeah.
Right.
So
or if you're
there's nothing there to manage.
Right. Exactly. Or if you're, you know, making all this money straight out of college and you're just having fun, you're not here thinking about how do I save it?
Thankfully, at least at the big three, Delta, American, United, there's a lot of screwing up you could probably do and you might be okay, because they're putting in 17% of what you make into the 401k plan.
Yes.
Whether or not you're saving a penny.
Correct.
It is pretty incredible.
So that's amazing.
Yes. We're very lucky in that way. I think that's unusual for companies to offer that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think as a good first officer, if you've listened to the captains that you've flown with over time and the mistakes that they've made, you've learned from those without having to actually live them.
Right. Yeah.
So that's helpful. Right.
Right.
So a couple times a week I get texts, I get photos.
Okay.
Like, hey, dude, this happened on the trip, or look at this view or whatever. And I love those. That's great. Live vicariously through you guys. And then the other text I get most often is, hey, I was flying with this guy, ...
Sure. Absolutely.
Right.
And it's usually something crazy. They're like, oh yeah, I flew with this captain. I flew this first officer. This is what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, I flew with this guy and he's making $600,000 a year and he just converted everything into a Roth IRA. I'm like, why would you do that at 37% tax? Like, that's crazy. He's like, he told me I should be doing this too. You know? And it's like pilots sometimes, they're a little bit engineers. So they overthink things.
Yes.
And then a little bit of preppers.
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah. Right.
Yes.
Absolutely. Right. It's like, how do I bury all this in my backyard? You know, I would not, if I got a text like that, I wouldn't be surprised. So it's what we try to do is just get reasonable information out so people can understand that every tax situation is unique.
Sure.
And what one person, what's good for one family may not be good for another family.
Yeah. I know I flew with a couple of guys who had everything in gold.
Yeah.
Hard physical gold on the table in front of them, showed me a picture of him, like, congratulations.
Bud. That's awesome. That's what's your address?
Yeah.
That's right.
Good point.
But you've guided us through all of the times that we made no money to the times that we're doing better at the majors. And you've always given us great, solid advice. And we're not taking the captain's advice. We're taking your advice.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, one of the things that I think is the biggest threat to this new money at majors is these companies trying to charge, 0.5% for your 401k.
Yeah. We've been solicited multiple times for those.
And they're getting aggressive. Yeah. LinkedIn. One guy told me, he said he had a guy just randomly call him up on his cell phone.
Okay.
I was like, well, your cell phone's probably published somewhere, maybe with your sure. medical certificate or your type rating or yeah. something right. with the FAA. And that's why they call that as opposed to like a home phone, I guess. But, if you do the math from age 32, because we thought you get hired at a major at 32, it's actually like 22, it seems like. But from 32 to age 65, it would be $3.5 million in fees. So you two would be paying $7 million in fees.
That's insane.
Just for them to
just give you guidance. Just to yeah. give you guidance. And what they do is they take the money out of the 401k plan and move it to the brokerage link inside yeah. the 401k plan. And I have a problem with that because you have
wonderful
less than
index
a 2%
funds.
Chance right. to beat the S&P sure. 500. So yeah. in our models, which are available free for all the major airlines on our website, our models, you can go directly there at pilotretirement.com, favor the S&P 500. So by default, you know, we're sticking with the asset class that no one's been able to really beat over the last 20 years.
Right.
And then on top of that, you have the additional fees. So 0.5% plus about 0.15 is what these funds are costing yeah. that these advisors are using.
Yep.
And so we test our pilot models versus what these other companies are doing. And on our models a win, not sure. necessarily because of performance,
but the lack of fees.
Yeah. So you can have a great asset manager, but they're charging you. I met a prospect turned client recently. It was paying 1.25%, I think, to like some company called the Pilot Advisor. Never heard of them. But they're charging a ridiculous amount of money. So you'd have to double that. That'd be over $7 million in fees
sure.
that you have to overcome. That's insane. Right.
That's a lot.
I couldn't imagine it.
That's insane. And so
they're often hidden fees too. Like they're not entirely upfront with what they're charging.
Not always. This one was, it was in their disclosures. But yeah, so you just have to avoid that inside your 401k plan. The index funds inside all the major airlines are great investments. There is no reason why you should be venturing out into a brokerage link account. And some guys just think that it's not just pilots, but it's just human nature. It's like, well, I can do this and I can beat the system.
Yeah. yeah.
And there's really no system to beat. The problem is the system is taking your money. That's the problem.
And I think social media always focuses on the hair of the turtle in the hair, right? You want to see the instant gratification when it's just slow, steady progress yes. through the race.
And
life.
Focus on planning.
Yeah.
The assets will take care of themselves as long as you have a diversified portfolio. We use modern portfolio theory, super basic portfolios, but they perform well over the long term.
Yeah.
And the planning side is what people have to focus on. You know, if you, not going to probably die in a plane crash, but if you died in a car accident, right, or something happened and you couldn't get to the finish line, is your family going to be taken care of? Is $1 million of life insurance enough? Right. We need to have those conversations.
Yeah.
If yes. you're disabled longer than 2 years or a year at Delta or United American, you can go about a year there as well. So let's say you're disabled longer than a year. Can your family still pay its bills?
Right.
How much money should you have in an emergency fund? Right. What about estate planning? How are we going to transfer all this stuff? What about tax planning? Mm-hmm. Like, should we put in everything in pre-tax? Should we have a little bit of Roth, or should we right. have, you know, we're really big on opportunity funds, put money outside the plan. You've maxed out the plan. Any extra dollars go into an opportunity fund to do what? Buy a second home, buy right. a bigger first home, do all these different things.
Put a pool in.
Right. these are all the things that planning encompass. In the problem with people right now in my space is that they see airline pilots as a great way to attach an asset management fee, but they're really not doing any of the other planning.
Sure.
So anyway, this isn't turned into an infomercial here, but but that's just kind of a pet peeve of mine, because as a former pilot, I think that they're being preyed on.
Yeah.
Even so much so that some of the bigger unions are endorsing, not directly, but there are somehow people are getting these lists, and I can only think that it's coming from the very top.
Sure.
Don't have any proof.
Yeah.
But
no, I understand.
You know, there's one company called RAA that's paying pilots to recruit other pilots.
My older brother is also here, and he flew with one. And he called me after landing and was like, tell me more about this. And I said, run away. Don't listen anymore.
Right.
Don't.
It's like, are you really happy with financial advisor? Or perhaps are you being compensated?
Yeah.
Are you being compensated to solicit people? And right. that's really complicated. You know, it's a huge conflict of interest.
Yes.
And they're not really disclosing that anywhere in the conversation.
Yeah. That's shady in my opinion.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I showed it to a pilot one time. I said, this is a list of people that are soliciting in your airline. Do you know these people? And he's like, these three are in the training department.
Oh, wow.
This guy's a check airman. This guy's, yeah. That's crazy. Just going through that list, but all things that should be, you know, disclosed and talked about. Thank you guys for coming on and sharing your story and being great people and being great friends of Wiser. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for your guidance over the years.
You're welcome. We have more episodes. If you want to listen more about aviation and related finance related topics, episode 194, I did one on Delta, American, United, who's got the best retirement offering. You can listen to that episode. Episode 173, this is one of our most downloaded episodes, making the most of your airline 401k. We talked a little bit about the market-based cash balance plans that were being launched back then. We also have a YouTube channel. It's called A Wiser Retirement, just like the podcast. We are getting close to 1,000 subscribers. So if you're listening, slide over there and subscribe. Follow the page. We have a couple of videos. I did one on pilots stop spending millions in 401k management fees. I kind of gave that one away already, but
right. What's that one about?
If you want to listen to it again, right. Well, let me tell you, Delta Pilots Guaranteed Variable Universal Life Policy. That was a little confusing. We had to break that one down a little bit. Yes. You want to be in the GVUL if you're a Delta pilot. United had that before Delta, and American does not have it at all, but those are things that you want to be taking advantage of from a tax perspective. You can also go to our airline 401k downloads. That's at in the Pilot Center, wiserinvestor.com/Pilot Center. That's also linked in the show notes. Thanks again for listening to today's episode. 218 times we've done this, which is amazing. If you're interested in learning more about Wiser Wealth Management, I want to schedule a consultation, meet with one of our fiduciary financial advisors. You can do so by going to wiserinvestor.com. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to a Wiser Retirement podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Make sure to subscribe wherever you're listening. That way you don't miss any new episodes. We'd also appreciate if you could leave a rating and review. If you have any questions about anything that was discussed today, head to wiserinvestor.com and reach out.
This episode was produced by Edward Resendez.
This podcast is strictly for informational purposes only and is not to be considered as investment advice or a solicitation to buy or sell any financial products, securities, digital assets, or any other investment vehicles, or a basis to make any financial decisions. Wiser Wealth Management Incorporated is a registered investment advisor with the SEC. The host and or guest may personally own securities, digital assets, or other investment vehicles mentioned on this podcast. Neither the host nor guest of the show are compensated for their participation, and no referral fees are paid to or received by any host or guest for clients, listeners, or similar interests. Investments involve risk, and unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor, tax professional, insurance professional, and or legal professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Past performance is not indicative of future performance.